Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Studios. So I know everybody thinks I hate Rand Carthon, and everybody thinks that I go out of my way to just every chance I get throw Rand Carthon under the bus, and I don't think that's true. I think what happens is if I see something I don't like, then I go crazy about it. Like this idea that Nicholas Petitfrere can be starting at right tackle next year for the Titans. I don't like it. So then I go crazy about it. But I also believe in being fair. That is what I have always said about this program, is we try to be fair no matter what. So when you guys get on me every time I say something about Rand or a decision that was made by the Titans that I don't necessarily like or a decision that was made that is hurting them today, you guys say things like, that's not fair, Jared. That mistake was Vrabel's fault. And the fact that everything wrong that happened with this team last year being Vrabel's fault, I think is a little ridiculous. And then you tell me, Rand's draft was incredible. And I'm like, incredible. They took a guard with the 11th overall pick, and we don't even know if that guard is going to be any good. And yes, they got a quarterback in the second round, and that's great. But if the Titans really believed that he was a franchise quarterback, they would have drafted him with the 11th overall pick. And people are like, no, Jared, we found a franchise left guard, a franchise quarterback, and a franchise running back, and that's a great draft. I'm like, let's see, before we host a parade. But I also am not going to tell you that it was a terrible draft. I'm not going to tell you it was a below average draft. And the Athletic today is. They have ranked and graded the 2023 drafts. And I was looking for the Titans, and I figured the Titans would be up towards the top just because you guys on Twitter, every time we have a discussion about the general manager, you guys tell me every time that that draft was incredible. And the Athletic gives the Titans 2023 draft a C-. Now remember, C is supposed to represent average. I know some people view C's as bad things because they're only allowed to make A's and B's. And I know other people say, hey, C is average, C's passing, just like D, you know. But C- means below average. It doesn't mean poor, which is a D. And it doesn't mean F, which is a failure. But C- is below average. The Athletic writes, Peter Skoronski was the first step towards rebuilding Tennessee's offensive line, and he looks like he will be one of the top young guards in the NFL. I don't know where we got that from. He was not very good last year, but okay, whatever. Tajay Spears still has to prove himself durable enough for an increased workload, but he averaged more than 4.5 yards per carry as a rookie, and 70% of his yardage came after contact. The big question, the Athletic writes, is quarterback Will Levis, whom the Titans will be evaluating closely in 2024. I don't think C- is fair. I don't think that that draft class, again, we're talking about below average. And I think that's a little harsh. Number one, as of right now, the Titans have 3 starters out of their 6 picks. If Jalen Duncan wins the right tackle spot, it'll technically be 4. But if that happens, I'm going to go crazy. If that happens, then they get a big fat F, not for the draft class, but just for in general, because I don't think Jalen Duncan can do that. But again, they're going to have 3 guys starting with their first 6 picks, or with their 6 picks from last year, between Skoronski, Levis, and Spears. And yes, the whole draft will be defined by Levis because quarterback's the most important position. But I also think we have to look at it like this. Here is what the second round has produced in terms of quarterbacks over the last 5 years, going back to 2017. No, 6 years, going back to 2017. There was no second round quarterback in 2022. Desmond Ridder went in the 3rd round. 2021, Kyle Trask at Tampa Bay, sucks. 2020, Jalen Hurts, good. But after the first year, they were desperately trying to keep Carson Wentz. So even they were skeptical about Hurts before turning the keys over to him in 2021 in that second year. And they were trying to get Russell Wilson ahead of 2022. They ended up not doing it, and Hurts had a franchise year. But Hurts, franchise quarterback. So that's a good pick. 2019, Drew Lock. 2018, no second-round quarterback. 2017, DeShone Kizer. And we all saw DeShone Kizer in training camp. You guys didn't. We did. He stinks. But again, Kizer got a starting opportunity. Locke got a starting opportunity. Trask has not gotten a starting opportunity. And right now, Levis is at the point where he's getting a starting opportunity. That said, I believe Levis has done more than Drew Locke ever did as a starting quarterback in the NFL up into this point. And so if we're taking that into the context of a second-round quarterback, then you have to argue that that's actually pretty decent. I mean, again, Levis was solid as a rookie quarterback given what he was dealing with. Certainly made mistakes last year, but also great plays, great comebacks, great throws. So it has to be a little bit better. But when they say this draft's going to hinge on Levis, that's, I mean, yes. I mean, their tenures are going to hang on Will Levis. If Levis isn't good, they're all going to get fired. But here's where I won't necessarily commend the 23 class, but I also won't throw it under the bus. And that is Skoronski. Because we made every excuse in the book for him last year. Oh, he had an appendectomy, Jared. Oh, he was playing next to two bums, Jared. Oh, he had a horrible offensive line coach, Jared. Well, guess what? Those excuses don't exist anymore. The appendectomy will be over a year old. He's a second-year pro. He's going to be next to the highest-paid center in the NFL, and he is going to have the seventh overall draft choice next to him. He's going to have maybe the greatest line coach in the history of the NFL coaching him. There are no more excuses. If Skoronski is not a perennial Pro Bowler, then it's a bad pick. And if you flub the 11th overall pick in the draft, especially when you take a, I don't want to say meaningless position, but certainly not a premium position, then you should be docked. But I don't think we can say that yet. I don't think we're there yet. So I think this is a perfect example of reality. Again, one side, the boo-hoo Titans crew, that no matter what they do, every move's a good move, and every time I bring up the fact that they don't have a right tackle, they get mad at me saying, it's March, Jared! What are they supposed to do? It's March! They're supposed to get a right tackle. Instead of that, I think you guys are off your rocker when you talk about this 2023 draft class like it was some unbelievable can't miss, like it was the Texans draft with the offensive rookie and defensive rookie of the years. But I also don't think it was a C-. I think the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle. And that's a B-, C, which is average, something like that. But a C-? I didn't think it was that bad. I don't think they're giving them enough credit. So, again, you can get on me, say whatever you want. But in this case, I don't think they're being fair, and I'm calling it out. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So the Titans are willing to put their foot down on something. They're willing to say they believe in something that I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't know anything about other than rumors and conjecture. But it's a pretty big risk. And I do, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's one I'm going to hold them accountable for. We'll get to that coming up next here on Stillman & Company. Let's talk about Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I love my friends at Hiller. They take great care of my home, and they can do the exact same for you. Let Hiller be your go-to. And this month is Happy's Golden Ticket Sweepstakes at Hiller. Enter to win at hillergoldenticket.com. All you have to do is enter your email, and you're automatically entered to win. Prizes include a $5,000 Hiller gift card, a $1,000 Hiller gift card, or one of 10 Happy Hiller Club memberships. Or take advantage of zero interest financing for 12 months on select new HVAC systems, tankless water heaters, and whole home generators. Do not miss out. Enter to win now. Again, that is HillerGoldenTicket.com. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Fish Truck today.
So I got around a lot of really, really smart people. And one of the classmates I had a PhD in neuroscience from the University of Minnesota. He had an advanced analytics degree from Oxford. And he helped design the AI technology for one of the top medical device companies in the country, where it was the AI was used to help the doctors identify cancer in patients. And I was just fascinated by this. And so I took what was a football problem, and we put it in the context of AI. And one of the problems that we have in football is we spend a lot of money on players that don't pan out for injury a lot of times. They get injured, and you end up paying for them injury settlements, or you end up cutting them once they get healthy. I was like, if we can reduce our pool there, if we can reduce our risk within that pool of players, I mean, that would be a game changer. If you can save an owner $1 million, $2 million off of one decision, I mean, that's a game changer. So I got with these guys, and we started to attack the problem. And to make a long story short, we were able to develop some models that seemed promising.
There you go. That was Chad Brinker talking about how he went to business school and saw the AI models that cure cancer, and they're bringing them to the NFL, supposedly. I mean, I think that was all sunshine pumping, but I think a lot of people heard that and they were like, oh, yes, we're entering the analytic age. We're going to be smarter than everybody else. And I'm like, your cancer curing model really helped you with Andre Dillard. Well, Paul Kaharsky goes inside of the Titans acquisition for L'Jarius Sneed. Now, Chad Brinker, I think, is talking out of school a little bit here, because there are some pretty deep quotes about L'Jarius Sneed in here. And Ian, I don't think they're allowed to talk about L'Jarius Sneed like that, but
I guess not technically.
I guess whatever. So Kaharsky wrote about the L'Jarius Sneed trade, and Chad Brinker said that patience is a virtue, particularly in our sport. Sometimes people don't want to be patient. They want to hurry up and jump out and take care of business, and sometimes you have to do that. In this case, we put together a pretty good plan and strategy heading into free agency. Blah, 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 blah. Just it's kind of like the same curing cancer thing. However, when they talked about the knees, Paul wrote in here that apparently one concern with Snee is a balky knee that limited his practice participation in 2023 for the Super Bowl champion Chiefs. There has been huge buzz among reports at the NFL annual meetings that it is a degenerative condition that will be a long-range problem for him. Stop. First of all, regardless of what the conjecture is, it seems to me that that has to be true, because if not, a player of this caliber does not go for a third-round pick in next year's draft. We continue. Carthon and Brinker both told me about researching the knee from afar even before Sneed passed his physical with the Titans. Players with issues like Sneed's almost always pass their physical after a trade, so Tennessee had to be comfortable with his physical condition before they agreed to the trade and the contract extension. So again, the Titans had to be okay with the knee. They had to be okay with it, because if they traded, then, you know, working out the waiver or whatever would be very problematic. So I don't know if they included a waiver in this or not. It's the kind of thing that we'll never know, because the agents are the ones who talk to the national reporters like Schefter and Rappaport that put this stuff out there, and they're not going to tell you, yeah, we had to get a waiver for my guy's $55 million because he's got a bad knee. So Paul continues, quote, once you get to the spot when the two parties are agreeing that you can have those discussions, normally trainers will reach out to each other and share the information, Brinker said. Our league is very tight-knit and close, and you have friends in different things. Particularly in something like this, there's information you dig into those relationships you do have to try to gather. Nothing is foolproof. You try to make the best decision off of what you are able to gather. It's good to hear what's been the history, not only talking to the player, but also the previous club. Then our guys went through the medical exam on our side and are feeling very good about where everything is. So, what this is telling us is that the Titans talked to the Chiefs medical staff. And after talking to the Chiefs medical staff, apparently the Titans medical staff felt comfortable enough to try to make this deal. Am I the only one who's skeptical about that? Rand Carthon saying, quote, you do research and you explore and you make moves if you're not And you don't make moves if you're not comfortable with it, Carthon said. You're not going to go into a situation where you trade for any player of any high caliber and you still have questions when you bring him in. You hear everything from everybody. Some of it can just be rumor, but you have to explore it. You do your due diligence, but you find out. Even if it's something that's not real, it makes you dig that much deeper, go a little bit further. If it's true, you figure it out. If you figure out where you are. If it's not, then it's water under the bridge. Basically, what I took from that is the Titans are telling us the knee's fine. And I have no idea if the knee's fine or not. I've never met Legarius Sneed. I've never analyzed those knees. But the Titans are telling us, and again, these are their words, not mine. They're telling us that the knee is fine. It's a rumor. They did their research. They talked to the Chiefs medical team, and they came away from it and said, it's all good. Now, again, they could be lying. There could be a waiver in there that if he misses three games because of the knee, then the guarantees are void, or there could be something in there. I don't know. And I highly doubt that the Titans would tell everybody if they did something like that because they don't want to make the player look bad. They don't want to piss off the agent. But if it is as written that the Titans took the Chiefs trainer's word for it, and felt comfortable about it, the Titans trainers, the same trainers who were here for Caleb Farley and Julio Jones, if that's the case, and the knee is bad on Sneed, that can get you fired. And it should get you fired. I beg the Titans not to make the trade for Julio Jones. I beg them. And yesterday, Joe was sitting here saying, well, you know, Julio had missed some games the year before, but Julio hadn't missed more games than... I don't care. I remember at that time, I remember going over it, and I remember us saying, no, 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 you all getting mad. And then when I said no after they made the trade, I was like, oh, that's a bad idea. You guys got, well, you guys went crazy on me. And I think that that trade really hurt John Robinson. When we're talking big picture and the owner and everything else, I mean, I don't think it was as bad as Farley. I don't think it was as bad as Raidens and Isaiah Wilson and the A.J. Brown trade. Though I actually don't think the A.J. Brown trade is what got John Robinson fired. As much as people bring that up, I do not think that the A.J. Brown trade got Robinson fired. Because I've talked to people with the Titans that said that the A.J. Brown trade didn't get him fired. That was a group decision. But I definitely think the Julio thing blew up in his face. And that was a situation where I had talked to somebody in the league who said that their team's doctors laughed at the Titans when they made the Julio Jones trade. I know Legarius Sneed is a good player. So when all he can go for is a third-round pick in next year's draft, that tells me that there is something there. But sometimes it can be overblown. Just like somebody's attitude can be overblown. Just like Randy Moss. People thought when he was in Oakland, they said, oh, Randy Moss, he's not the same anymore. He can't run the same. He's not this. He's not. No, it's just that the Raiders sucked. And as soon as he went to New England with Tom Brady, he was great. But if those knees are bad, what you cannot do is you can't go around parading, we've got our AI that finds cancer, and it's going to save us every little penny on analytics, and then go spend $55 million guaranteed and get six games out of the guy like David Givens. That cannot happen. And if that happens, those guys should be fired. So it's the kind of move that if I own the team, and they said to me, we feel comfortable about the knee, and we feel comfortable about it because our trainers and our doctors talked to Kansas City. And I promise you, Mr. Stillman, that that knee is going to hold up for 3 years, which is the guarantee. Okay. But, and so the Titans are telling us the knee is fine. Just like if the Titans were to take somebody with a character issue and the Titans were to tell us, hey, I know the guy has a domestic past, but he's fine now. and then that were to rear its ugly head, you'd be held accountable for that too. So the knee is a red flag, but the Titans say it's not a big deal and they'll be okay going forward, and I'm fine with that. But that better be what happens. And if not, you guys should be accountable, should be held accountable for it. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones. 615-737-1025. There is one thing that I want to yell and scream and go crazy about if it happens. And maybe I just, because I don't want to believe that it will happen, I'm going to believe that it won't happen. But I am starting to believe the duck theory when it comes to something very, very dangerous that could happen to the Titans. We'll do that next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063, The Game.
What stood out to you about that conversation with the new Titans head coach?
Well, I talked, his conversation went to the positions where they have not addressed things. I think it's pretty clear that he is expecting that they will draft an inside linebacker to go with Kenneth Murray, which is definitely a necessity. Talked to him about the lack of edge players, and he pumped up Landry and Key, of course, but he did not mention the other guys by name. So I don't think that bodes very well for Rashad Weaver or Caleb Murphy. You know, safety, they've talked to Justin Simmons and had Marcus May in for a visit. He talked maybe about the market downshifting eventually. So I would think those guys could still be in play. And there's not a lot of action going on with them. And he said Dylan Radins is a guard right now for them. So Jalen Duncan.
I mean, he keeps saying that.
And Nicholas Petit-Frere are the right tackle competitors right now. And the right tackle could be one of those guys. You know, he said there's potential for them to add a veteran option at some point, but didn't make it sound like it's a pressing thing.
There he goes, PK, talking about his conversation with Brian Callahan. And I just got one thing to say. You know, TD was on the show earlier today, and he said that he thinks that there's a chance that Jack Gibbons is going to be wearing the green dotted inside linebacker. You heard right there. Paul says he thinks there could be a battle between Nicholas Petit-Frere, a.k.a.
PT.
PT and Jalen Duncan. I think that's a disaster waiting to happen. Don't make me tell the right tackle story again. And then, you know, maybe they'll wait it out at safety or they'll see. Here's what I'll say about fudging it at positions that are important, like right tackle and green dot inside linebacker. If the Titans believe that they can get by with Jack Gibbons being the green dot inside linebacker, fine. I don't agree with that. But if they think it, fine. But if it doesn't work, don't come bitching to me about it. If you put Nicholas Petit-Frere out there at right tackle and he sucks as bad as he sucked last year in the 100 snaps that he participated in after coming back from the gambling suspension, which is, by the way, not a good thing. So when you say, well, Jared, it's not fair. He was suspended for gambling. I know that's a bad thing. If you do that and he stinks, and in October, it's like, oh, God, the line again. It's so bad. If that's the case, don't come crying to me about it. So take your risks. You take your risk on Legarius Sneed's knees. I get it. I used to ask Floyd. I actually told Josh Hurd, who's the athletic director at Louisville, and just hired Pat Kelsey to be their basketball coach. And I told him last night, this might have been off the air. Maybe it was on the air. I can't remember. But I asked Floyd one time why he didn't criticize David Poyle over something that David Poyle had screwed up. And Floyd said, because you, talking to me, you've never been in that situation before. You've never made those kind of decisions. You don't understand how much discussion and how much information goes into making these type of decisions. And you don't know what it means for everybody when you make those kind of decisions. And I do, so I'm not going to criticize them for that. I said, okay. But at the same time, like, this is a business. And we know that there are rumors about Legarius Sneed's knees. I don't know about you, but I saw enough last year to know that Jack Gibbons can't run in the NFL consistently enough to be on the football field with the green dot. And I've seen 2 years of Nicholas Petit-Frere where I see a frame that says this guy should have been the 16th pick in the draft and this guy should be a starting left tackle in the NFL, and yet he can't play left tackle and he might not be able to play right tackle, and he fell to the third round because for some reason he just did not produce. He was the top recruit in the country. It was between Alabama, Notre Dame, and Ohio State. I mean, that should be better than the third round. So you want to take those risks, that's fine. But don't come crying to me if they don't work. And if they work, I'll give you credit. Reed texts and goes, who are the right tackles the Titans could still sign or fail to sign in free agency? I get it. We don't have a right tackle that satisfies you. But tell me who we missed out on or are going to miss out on in free agency if we don't act now. That comes from Reed. So here's what you missed in free agency. The number one target that I had for right tackle, and I would have overpaid in order to get it just so I wouldn't have to be worried about it, is Jermaine Illuminor. Now, he went to the Giants on a two-year $14 million contract. But he is a starting right tackle. That is the kind of guy who I would have signed. I would have signed Jermaine Illuminor before I signed Tony Pollard, only because I already had a running back. You know, and if I needed to go get another running back, I could have gotten another running back even if it wasn't Tony Pollard. But I don't have a right tackle. So that's the first guy that I circled. I did all the research on the available tackles out there. They should have gone hard after Illuminor. If for no other reason, Illuminor has a lot of experience in both right tackle and right guard, the Titans could have kicked him inside to right guard if they ended up getting a right tackle. Morgan Moses is a starting right tackle for the Ravens. He has started everywhere he's been. He is the model of consistency. Again, not a Pro Bowler, not a Hall of Famer. But he went from the Ravens to the Jets in exchange for a fourth-round pick swap. You couldn't have done that. Tyron Smith went for $6.5 million guaranteed. I don't even like Tyron Smith because he's hurt so much. Very good player. But he's hurt so much. And I made the argument that I would have given him $7 million with incentives that would have allowed him to get whole. And then if I draft Joe Alt, then I can put Tyron Smith on the right side, which is what he was coming out of college. And the Titans, I don't think, had any interest in that. And then there's Andrus Peat, who they brought in for a visit as a potential swing tackle but did not sign. Does that satisfy you, Reed? And don't even get me started on Mike McGlinchey last year, who wanted to be here and would have taken significantly less money than he got from the Denver Broncos, but the Titans were never interested. Texter says, it sure is good the Titans are listening to you in that building because you are solving all of their problems. You should have a position over there with all of these opinions. You know, Chris, I don't think it would have been a bad idea. General Manager Jared Stillman, I don't think it'd be a bad idea. Let me tell you something that wouldn't happen if I was GM of the Titans. We wouldn't be drafting guards in the first round of the draft. That I can promise you. Texter said, are the Titans allowed to have Snead do an MRI on the knee, or do they just have to take the Chiefs' word for it because an MRI would give them a lot better evaluation of the knee? So I don't know what all goes into the physical. You know, Kaharski is of the belief that, and he kind of hinted at that in his story that he wrote, he's kind of the belief that if you do it, that if you make this kind of trade, that the physical is just standard and you tell the doctors, you know, hey, pass him. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. You know, Kaharski says that Nick Saban's lying when he gets mad about how the Miami doctors wouldn't pass Drew Brees. But Randy Mueller, who was the general manager, writes for The Athletic at the time, says that that's absolutely what happened. So make of it what you will. So, I mean, I would guess that if they were worried about the knees, when Snead took the physical, they could have had him undergo an MRI. Now, I'm sure Snead's camp could have objected to it, but again, the question is, do you want to sign for the money or not? See, this is where the Titans like to be vague, where the Titans use a lot of buzzwords, where they say a lot, but they don't really tell you anything. And I don't blame them for this, but again, I'm just pointing this out. When Chad Brinker tells Paul, you know, oh yeah, we, you know, our medical team spoke to their medical team, and we're a very tight-knit group in the NFL, and we shared the information, and what information did you share? When one guy picked up the phone and talked to the other guy, when Todd Torricelli, the trainer of the Titans, talked to the head trainer of the Chiefs, what was it? Was it a, hey, what happened with the knee? Oh, well, he had some inflammation. We, you know, worked on the knee and he should be fine. Or was it, hey, can you send me over every MRI you guys did on that knee over the years? Can you send me his exit physical? Can you, that kind of, I don't know. And they're not going to tell you, so you probably shouldn't ask. Or if you do ask, they're just, no, they're not going to tell you. But to answer your question, I don't know. Right? Like Rand Carthon says, if there's a rumor out there, you have to investigate it because it might be true. Who knows? Well, what was the extent of the investigating that they did? And it's not included in the PK piece. So to answer your question, I agree with you. Like I would feel so much better if you told me that Kansas City sent over every MRI over the last couple of years of that knee, and that the Titans were able to analyze the MRI and that they were looking at it saying, thumbs up. Caleb says, I don't want to start thinking that Bill Callahan is some sort of magician that can turn any bad player into a Pro Bowler, but with Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, I hear he has the size and talent, so is it crazy to think that Callahan can turn him into at least a serviceable player this year? Also, I wonder how important Brian Callahan thinks the offensive line is. In Cincinnati, they went to the Super Bowl with a bad offensive line, but the thing is, they have Joe Burrow, and the Titans don't. Well, I would say this. The offensive line is probably the reason why over the last 2 years, not counting last year, but the Super Bowl year and the year after in the AFC title game, the offensive line might be why the Bengals didn't win the Super Bowl. But I, you know, he did say, you know, we like premium touchdown scorers, so who knows. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to weigh in, we will continue to get to your phones. But tonight, the NCAA tournament starts back up. And I have an NCAA tournament thought. We'll do that next. Dominic Company, 1025-1063. The game, speaking of the NCAA tournament, did your brackets get busted? Well, we have a chance for you to win with 1025 and 1063 The Game's Bracket Challenge. Go to thegamenashville.com and fill out your 16-team bracket to compete to win great prizes, including tickets to see Kings of Leon at Bridgestone Arena on September 26th. The 1025 The Game Bracket Challenge is brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook, Twin Peaks, and volunteer Hose and Gasket. And brackets will close 15 minutes prior to the first game tonight.
Who is on upset alert tonight? Jay Williams, talk to me.
I got them in my Final Four.
Okay.
And Seth, you know, every single day when we're doing College Game Day, our partner in crime, Rhys Davis, always says how he thinks they're going to check out early because this is alma mater. I'm going to go North Carolina on upset alert. This is an Alabama team that plays like an NBA team. Nate Oates, they believe in threes and layups. That's it. There's no mid-range games. There's no middies. It's either at the rack, they're racking it, Seth, or they're shooting threes. You know, I got a guy, Mark Sears, who is one of the best players in the nation. And look, this is a team that literally, I think their shot, it was like 2 of 38 or some crazy abnormal shot selection against Arizona earlier in the year and had a chance to win that game. So you can question their defense, and I know how good North Carolina is. And I know this is a North Carolina team that is better defensively than they were years past. But this is an Alabama team, Seth, that you and I have talked about. If they get hot, this is an Alabama team, Seth, I think that can beat North Carolina.
There you go. That was Jay Williams today. So we got basketball coming back tonight. You know, as soon as we get off the air, basketball will be on, and the Predators at 9 o'clock tonight. But, so I like the NCAA tournament. I've watched the NCAA tournament. I'm sure everybody's watched the NCAA tournament. But I have this weird relationship right now, it feels like, with the NCAA tournament this year. And I don't know if it's me or if it's the tournament itself. But I'm going to watch tonight, and I think most of you are probably going to watch tonight. But when I woke up this morning, I had no idea who was playing tonight. Like, I know the Vols are playing tomorrow, And you know I'm rooting for the Vols because I want good things to happen to Rick Barnes this year. But this tournament is not consuming me. And I wonder if I'm alone in this or if everybody else is the same way. Like, is it a me thing here? Or is it a, yeah, this is just the nature of the NCAA tournament, which is Friday or Thursday, Friday, we all watched. Saturday, Sunday, we all watched. Then we all kind of forgot about it. And now we're going to go back to watching tonight, and then we'll watch tomorrow, and we'll watch Saturday, and we'll watch Sunday, and then we'll worry about other stuff after that, and then the Final Four will happen, and we'll watch Saturday, and we'll watch Monday, and then they'll win the tournament, and we'll forget about it like we always do. Or if this is just a me thing, right? Like, I'm trying to figure this out. Is it me, or is it everybody? Because I do know tonight I'm going to watch. I mean, I'm looking right now at the games, you know, that are on tonight. San Diego State, UConn? Yes. UNC Alabama? Yes. Like, I will be watching the tournament tonight. But I'm not going to, I don't think tomorrow I'll be sitting there. Say, unless something crazy happens tonight, I don't think that I'll be waking up and just, oh, my God, I can't wait for tip-off of the NCAA tournament. And, again, I don't know if it's me. I don't know if it's the lack of star coaches in the game. You know, Coach K is not in there anymore. Jay Wright's not in there anymore. Roy Williams is not in there anymore. Rick Pitino didn't make the tournament.
Think it's a Cinderella thing?
Maybe the lack of Cinderellas.
I mean, NC State. You know, they stayed hot. They kept rolling. But other than that,
and you know what? I got into that NC State-Oakland game.
Yeah.
Like, I watched it. I got into it. But, I'm not. Like, I cared when I was watching it. And then it was over, and I didn't care anymore. But I will say this. Every time I hear this music, every time I hear this, I'm like, oh, yes. Yes. We get that NCAA tournament music. I just get so excited. You know that CBS music I'm talking about? Like, every time we get that, I get excited. But, again, as far as, like, what's the big interesting topic to talk about today on the radio about the tournament, I don't have anything for you other than I'm going to watch. But I'm really more worried about the Preds and the Tigers. And, again, I don't know if it's me or if it's everybody else. Tim is up next here on our program. Thank you for waiting. What's up, Tim?
Yeah, I'm exactly the same way as you. The tournament's not consuming me this year either. Part of it is that Kentucky, my team, got out early, but part of it is just there's a lot of other stuff going on in the sports world, too.
I hate speaking for other people. Thank you, Tim. I hate speaking for other people, but I just think that we're kind of all worried about our own stuff. You know, in this case, the Titans offseason, the Predators and their streak, and it's not like, you know, the Vols. I mean, I care about the Vols, but I'm not like Joe. And sitting here like, you know, the matchup for Zakai Ziegler versus their guards tomorrow night, like, oh, yes. That I love. See, I mean, I hear that. I'm like, I'm in a good mood. I'm in a good mood for this. But, like, again, as far as, like, the topic kind of stuff, like, meh. Keith from Bowling Green says, I'm like you about the NCAA tournament. He says he thinks it's because he's a UK fan and they're out of it. But again, like, I grew up a Vanderbilt fan. And Vanderbilt didn't make it to the tournament every year, but I still freaking love the tournament. And I went to college at Louisville. And some years we're really good. And some years we're not. And I've still kind of always cared about the tournament. This year? Dre says it's the fact that the Preds are on fire. I certainly think that's a part of it. One texter said, boy, we got a lot of Kentucky fans in here. Says, I quit watching when Kentucky goes out typically. One texter says, the women's tournament has been more exciting. I haven't watched a lot of the women's tournament, but do we know when they're going to drop that bombshell article on Kim Mulkey?
I actually heard Joe Rexro talking about that on Robbie and Rexro this morning. Apparently he's friends with the reporter and that he's been texting with the reporter this week. And that they are working on publishing the story, but no specifics.
I'll put it to you like this. Kim Mulkey got up there and gave that long press conference about how the media is all fake news and that the Washington Post has a sleazy reporter and he's working on a hit piece for 2 years on her and how she's not going to be bullied and I'm going to sue him. I got the best defamation lawyer there ever was and I'm going to sue you. And so she did all of that. I just put to you like this. I think I've met Kim Mulkey a couple of times. They're not rememberable experiences. But when LSU hired Kim Mulkey from Baylor, I know a lot about Kim Mulkey because I used to work in women's basketball. I used to be an AP poll voter for women's basketball. You know, I used to be very big into women's basketball. And when LSU hired Kim Mulkey, I told Caroline, I said, look, you're going to win, but you may not like it. That's how bad of a person she is. So I believe everything in this story that's written is going to be true because that's just how little I think of her. So I am waiting for that to drop. All right, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So Charles Robinson said today that all this J.J. McCarthy smoke is coming from Jim Harbaugh. So now the question is, why? And what about Minnesota? Because they seem to be the J.J. McCarthy team. What does it mean for the Titans? We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game.